Today is February 6th, and we have more news for you here today.
What categories of news do we have?
Did we put design in this section?
No.
We ended up removed it.
That's going to be on Friday.
Okay. I don't remember.
Business, which includes technology.
Well, there's like social media stuff in here today.
Everything except nonsense includes technology. So we don't really do a technology section. But yeah, business and security is what we'll talk about today. And this one could have gone under either of those headings. But
it could have gone under nonsense, too.
I chose business.
The Intercept has Google's Sidewalk Labs plans to sell plans to package and sell location data on millions of cell phones. Wow, what a name. Sidewalk Labs.
It's like sounds so innocent.
Yeah, it does.
Like it's a community sort of venture.
Well, now they're packaging the data, so that means it's not going to be de-anonymizable, right?
Is there a fly in here? The window's open. I've been invaded. Yeah, so what they're going to do, this is for city planners. So if you're planning a city and you're like, hey, where do I need to build sidewalks and crossing walks and stuff like that? And, you know, like maybe a public bathroom or something. Well, it's hard to figure out. You have to actually watch what people are doing. But guess who's watching what everyone's doing? It's Google.
Who's watching Google? Because who watches the watchers?
Wall Street.
Yeah, people who are looking to invest.
I'm not sure what those people are doing qualifies as watching, but okay.
Oh, they're watching. So yeah, they're going to sell the location data, and yeah, if you really wanted to, you could probably track people with it. So
does that include people that have opted out?
There is no opting out. You know that. It doesn't include Apple users yet.
But
unless they're using Gmail. Or any Google app.
Or any website that uses Google Analytics.
Yeah, well, if they're searching the web while they walk, which, of course, we know everybody is. Well, maybe this week's biggest story, at least the biggest story when it came to, the big tech companies, was Apple putting its foot down on the throat of some of its competitors.
Apple says it's banning Facebook's research app that collects users' personal information. Now, unless you're living under a rock or this is your only source of news, I don't know that I would describe what Facebook has done as a research app. They paid teenagers to install an application on their phone that literally monitored everything.
But that's research. I mean, that's market research. What do you think market research is?
Can we call what the Nazis did research? I mean,
yeah, of course.
It's unethical, but it is research.
I mean, what was that that one Japanese place where it was like sewing legs onto people's hips and stuff like that? That was research. You know, I don't know what it accomplished, but
well, Apple has taken issue with that, and they banned. The way that it works is Apple has to issue certificates, and so it's this thing called an enterprise certificate. And that means that if you get an enterprise certificate from Apple, you can write software for your employees to use on their Apple devices, and it will only work on devices that belong to employees of Facebook, because Facebook has an enterprise certificate. Well, Facebook was giving out the applications to people that were not employees, which is a violation of that agreement, which is what led to Apple revoking that certificate, which is what stopped their custom applications from working on Apple devices for Facebook employees.
But more importantly, they did that because there is no way this makes it into the App Store. No way. Because it's just straight up spying on everything you do. It's a root certificate. There is nothing you can do on your phone that this could not monitor. And they were paying $20 a month, plus $20 if you refer a friend. And in exchange for that, you gave Facebook everything that happened on your phone. Literally everything.
I think that's worth it. Our corporate overlords need that information.
Think how many like golden trowels you can get in Farmville.
Yeah. Well, and you did give it as you got it as gift cards, not cash. It wasn't direct deposit.
Of course.
So a lot of people, it was targeted toward teenagers, which again makes it even worse. But the good news is, no other company other than Facebook would have the balls to do something this invasive. There would be no chance of that.
Oh, wait. Google pops up and says, what? And so the Verge headline is, Apple blocks Google from running its internal iOS apps. Google joins Facebook in Apple's banning spree. So, yeah. Facebook was pretty quick to restore the certificates for Facebook so Facebook could continue operating. I don't know. I guess they worked it out, hugged it out, whatever. But as of the time of this recording, Apple has not reinstated Google's thing. Probably it is by now, by the time you're watching this, I would say. But Facebook or Google was doing a lot of the same kind of stuff as Facebook, apparently having non-employees use enterprise applications.
And they were doing similar kind of tracking too. But they did grant that Google was much more upfront about it. Facebook, there was some fine print that told you exactly what it was doing, but it was just kind of like, hey, this is fun and exciting. Did we mention it's $20 a month? $20 a month? Let's keep reiterating that.
It has to be good if it's $20.
And they didn't really tell you exactly what was going on, and they targeted it toward the kids. Google was just kind of like, yeah, we're going to spy deal with it, you know, because they're Google.
You can participate in a research program where we, like, do terrible things. We will need stool samples every other week.
So that's something that I doubt either will be doing for a little while. Eventually they will. They'll take a quick pause on that. This one I couldn't read because Cheddar, for whatever reason on the surface, just wouldn't render this page. So
Cheddar.com. Wow. It makes a return to the Level 1 News with the headline, Apple plans a gaming subscription service, according to multiple sources. So, yeah.
Is this going to be like mobile games?
No, it's... well...
you all got phones, don't you?
It's probably going to be the whole Apple TV thing, but games that can follow you around to multiple devices. So, yes, you could play on your phone, but you could also play on your TV or whatever.
Do you have to control it with your phone?
Well, that's an option. Like, you can, like, there are games now that you can use your phone as a controller, but actually play it on something else.
Similar, like a Switch would work.
Scrabble. Like, if all of your friends have iPhones, you can use an iPad as a Scrabble board and then play Scrabble with four iPhones. And the iPhones are, like, your little word
thing.
Your
tray.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm coming out against it.
Do you play board games a lot, Ryan?
No. I mean, I'm not against board games. Board games are the one situation where that might work, but they try to make things like Fortnite on mobile, and that's, I've never tried it, but I can't see how that would ever work. We talked about Intel last week, and they were desperate for a CEO, and they kept asking people, and people kept saying, your company's not in a good place right now. I'm sorry.
That's literally the sound they made.
So the question was, are they ever going to find a replacement for the interim CEO? And now we have the answer.
VentureBeat says, Intel's interim CEO, Bob Swan, gets the job permanently. Now, he's on record as saying that he did not want the job, which I think my comment at the time was, makes you wonder what sort of dumpster fire is raging inside the company that he doesn't want it. Well, it turns out that he's like, okay, you know what? You talked me into it.
They're like, congratulations, Bob. Literally everybody else we wanted turned us down.
Now, there was one other possibility, and that was that Intel was trying to do some crazy thing, like trying to recruit Lisa Su or something crazy like that, and they finally just got the clued in that, no, she's not going to do
that. See, the fan fiction I had in my head was that he's in love with Lisa Su, and he's going to offer up Intel as like a sign of his love on Valentine's Day, but he was waiting for this deal to go through.
What if he was going to go to work for China?
I don't know. That could be a possibility. I think my fanfic's better. But
Intel's only 50 years old, which it seems like they're older than that. I mean, I like to think of them as like a multi-century company.
Well, they eat right, and they get a lot of exercise.
But, I mean, Intel's definitely got an uphill battle that they are facing. And they also sunset the Itanium. We didn't have a story for it, but they've announced...
He went into his office to go get it.
The Itanium, it's dead. They've announced that you can still buy them for a couple more years. HP Enterprise will still... you know, let you buy an Itanium computer, but it's like 2020 or 2021. It's like no more orders. They don't want to deal with it anymore. The Itanium becomes the Itanic because it's sank.
How long have you been thinking of that joke?
Years. Also, help me, Obi-Swan Kenobi, you're our only hope.
Which will not be the title. I quietly didn't say anything earlier. Trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
So, BuzzFeed, as we learned last week, losing a big portion of their people. Was it 17%?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And I think this story is a good example as of why, because this is not even close to the first time this has happened.
BuzzFeed News says one of the biggest at-home DNA testing companies is working with the FBI.
Yeah.
So surprising no one.
They caught the golden whatever killer.
The Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
From the 70s.
So this is, it's not a huge, they're not breaking a huge story here. But it is interesting to note, this is, what's the name of them? Family Tree DNA. This is not a company that types your DNA. You get it done and you have like a, you know, the DNA signature or whatever, and you upload it here and they show you where other people might be who are related to you. And they send everything to the FBI. Not really. They won't let the FBI just search it, but if the FBI comes to them with a compelling case, they will let them in to search it.
You'd think that would be with a warrant, but...
No.
No. Just...
That's not how that works.
Just got to bring them a box of cookies, maybe some Starbucks.
Yeah. Some flowers.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, we didn't find the child killer, but we did find the guy that embarrassed your director like 7 years ago.
Here's somebody who's somewhat related to Aaron Swartz.
Let's punish them.
Yeah. It's like we will make sure his family never reproduces.
Well, a lot of people are kind of down on Amazon because they say that Amazon is not a good employer. They don't treat their people well.
He didn't treat his wife well.
They don't give them things like bathroom breaks. Luxuries, really.
Or heating.
You know what? Just basic human decency.
Oh, look at me. I have hypothermia at work. Oh, cry me a river. But it turns out the workforce doesn't seem to care very much.
Americans are lining up to work at Amazon for $15 an hour.
That's good pay in a rural area.
Well, this is really surprising, though, because, you know, we know several people that work in various capacities at Amazon that are basically warehouse-type work. And in all of the cases, the $15 an hour is kind of a worse deal than the stock options.
And if you are there for any amount of time. Now, for the new workers, it's way better because you have to get vested into the
stock. That takes like stuff. A year. Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of you get the impression a lot of these people are sort of like in and out of jobs.
Yes. Well, the people I know of who have worked in Amazon sort of positions, like, yes, they're in and out of jobs for the most part.
Yeah.
That's probably the difference.
You're talking, of course, about Nubbin.
Nubbin is one of them. I know somebody in Lexington.
Yeah, I'm thinking some other people.
He's
as well.
Incredibly loyal to Amazon. In fact, he gets up every morning, rolls out his carpet, and then does his morning prayer in the direction of Jeff Bezos.
Wherever he happens to be.
His counterpart in Rimworld unfortunately died last stream. Spoiler alert.
Terrible.
Sorry.
I haven't exported that one yet.
We still love it.
Well, you know what? The time is coming for cord cutting. Everybody's doing it. It's the hip new thing. It's almost like Apple products, you know? It's cool to
just
do
getting
it.
Getting rid of stuff.
And you might be thinking, you know what? I don't really care for Netflix. I don't care for Amazon. Maybe I'll go with one of these gray boxes. That'd be a way to describe them, and you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. So Ars Technica says, the Netflix, Amazon, and Hollywood studios shut down the maker of a free TV box. So this is Dragon Box will pay $14.5 million. This is surprising because they announced that they were going to fight it. And then something happened, and their lawyers were like, you know what? We're just going to shut down. These people are not going to provide the software or do anything.
I mean, would they really have a case there, though? Like, just to provide other people's things?
Well, technically, kind of they would, because to the letter of the law, they don't host any copyright material.
Yeah.
They're literally only pointing you to where you might find
just it. Just a technicality.
Is it, though? How does the law work?
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a technicality. I just think that it's sort of an uphill battle for them, and so $14 million is probably the least headache option.
Yeah, and they had spawned several other websites from this, and then they also talk about what was the other box? I can't remember the name of the other, but these guys go after every kind of box that does this kind of thing. This is kind of an easy business model because you really are just selling links, making a nice little UI for it.
Yeah.
Hardware is super cheap.
But you don't have to host any content or anything like that, which, you know, takes a lot of bandwidth and money and stuff.
So, but you don't last long and you have to pay back $45 million. You think they made anything? They probably made a couple dollars.
Probably not as much as we expect. Probably not $14.5 million.
Well, if you have an Xbox One, you may have noticed this week that they just magically stopped working.
I saw a lot of Twitter posts about this.
They were down. Now they're back. So, yeah, the internet was out. This internet outage affected a lot of stuff, but I don't know
if it's really an outage. Here's the shocking thing to me about this, because they talk about people, like, the boot screen didn't even work. So you're telling me that an Xbox won't boot without an internet connection?
That seems bizarre, but not that bizarre.
Why would that? I mean, and if you unplug the cable, do you think that it would suddenly start working?
Probably for booting, yeah.
That's weird. Definitely makes me not want an Xbox. Although,
did you really want one before? Like,
well, I kind of super want to play that cowboy game.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah,
Rockstar.
I super want to play it. They'll probably release it on PC sooner than later.
They never did the other one.
Yeah.
They didn't?
Nope.
Ooh.
And that's disappointing.
It's a compelling reason.
Well, the Dragon Box is out. Sorry. So you're going to have to make a choice. What's it going to be? Are you going to go to Netflix or are you going to go to Amazon? And the answer depends on whether you love quality or quantity.
Cord cutting, Amazon has more content, but Netflix has higher rated films. Tech something says.
Yes, now, it's kind of corrupt.
Some people complain that we are Zoomed, and we are not Zoomed. This is USA Today on 1080. You can't display the headline.
I remember when USA Today's design launched, and like people were talking about how innovative the design was, but it scaled terribly even then.
Yeah.
I think they had a chart. Maybe not. Yeah,
these are like standardized ratings, and the ratings are much higher on Netflix than Amazon.
So yeah, and plus Netflix has the originals, which are somewhere highly rated.
Yeah.
But Amazon has way more variety.
They have that Jack Ryan show that they won't stop.
I watched that.
Promoting.
It wasn't terrible, but I don't think they should have called it Jack Ryan. I think they should have called it The Terrorist that Jack Ryan is after. Because most of the show is about the terrorist.
That would have been more interesting, probably.
It gets kind of boring.
Are the terrorists interesting characters, at least?
Kind of. You know, it's like you go through his history of what made him a terrorist. And they try to make him...
sympathetic.
It's kind of like that. But...
Turns out that this terrorist is created as a result of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Whoops, sorry. We didn't mean to do that.
Well, it was very similar to that. Spoiler alert.
They're pretty much giving it away in the trailers.
Speaking of cord cutting, DirecTV. Now, when I moved into my new house, the amount of mailers I got from DirecTV, I think I could have wallpapered a room with them. It's ridiculous how... And it's funny because this article says they stopped promoting aggressively, but I don't know. Right. Anyway, not doing well.
Yeah, DirecTV has now lost a staggering 14% of its users in Q4. Losses, which follow AT&T's decision to cut back on promos, dropped the platform to number 3 behind Hulu and in the vMVPD race.
I
don't know what that is. Now, when we announced the... AT&T acquisition of DirecTV, and I made a prediction on that day that that was going to be terrible for consumers, and it was tantamount to AT&T admitting that they literally can't deliver video over, like, the network has been so poorly maintained, they need a satellite system to deliver video. And I was right.
Well, one thing about the merger is it's supposed to save you money. The consumer, I mean, not AT&T. Yeah. And that's because you have to go before Congress and say all these things about that. And amazingly, the reaction to the 14% cutback is like, okay, conference call time. What are we going to do about it? We're going to raise prices, which...
Yeah. AT&T's mega mergers are going poorly, and you're footing the bill. So massive merger debt has forced the company to raise prices. And this is something Wall Street warned about, but Wall Street really misunderstands the situation. For communications... People will pay, like, if you work at home and you depend on having a good internet connection, you will pay whatever. You will be super unhappy, but you will pay whatever.
You will find a house closer to a good internet connection.
Yeah.
In the case of Ryan.
Or move.
I gave
or
up on so many delightful country homes.
Because there was no internet.
Because there's just nothing. But for, like, cable TV, it's like, no, you can either live without it and get an antenna or stream services. And that's AT&T's nightmare scenario. AT&T... Their plan internally could not have been anything other than to ride the razor's edge of having a network just barely good enough for internet service and just barely bad enough that streaming video would be awful so that you use the satellite service. It can't be anything else.
Well, that ain't going to work. For me, it's not a question of any of that. It's just that I can no longer, once you've had a world without commercials... I can't go back.
You can't go back.
I'll never go back. I've got the Sirius radio preview because I got new cars. And at first I'm like, maybe I could get used to Sirius. And then they play commercials and I'm like, what? The spell is immediately broken. It's like, what was I thinking? Of course I can't pay money for this. This is ridiculous. They're making money from the commercials. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Now, this next story, my first instinct was to ignore it because it's PR and it's feel-good crap. But I don't want to editorialize my story selections. So here it is.
Elon Musk makes all Tesla patents public to save the earth.
Oh my God, what a prince of a man.
Scroll down so you can see his beautiful face.
Oh, look, he's staring off. Looking
with his arms crossed. What is the picture in the background? I don't...
It's people running.
They're like, they couldn't just do like a white background.
You know what they're running from? Is electric cars going wild.
Now, I think that I'm going to criticize this story for a different reason. That is, Tesla has this $920 million loan coming up. It looks like they're going to have enough cash on hand to cover that. But if their stock was above a certain price, they could actually repay that loan with stock instead of cash. He should have timed this a little better to try to boost the stock closer to that payback thing, because that might have been the thing to send the stock over the edge.
No, no way. Because investors are not this stupid. They see through the bullshit for the most part. And they're going to be like, wait, you have something of value that you're giving away? That's not going to help the stock price.
He did give away the electric charger tech, which seemed to help the number of Tesla charger stations elsewhere, but not here in the U.S.
So his statement was, he doesn't consider it Tesla versus the other electric car companies. He considers it all electric car companies versus gasoline cars,
yeah,
or fossil fuel cars. So I kind of don't think that Porsche feels that way, which might give them a little bit of an advantage when it comes to the cutthroat world of business. But hey, I guess it is an overall. You can't really say it's a bad thing.
No, it's not.
So there you go. Good job, Muskie.
He hates being called that. His least favorite nickname.
Well, what if I told you that there was going to be a huge new repository of podcasts? How excited would you be?
Wow, I would be so excited.
Yay.
I'm excited at like 0.02%, because I don't really listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I don't have time to listen to podcasts.
Ars Technica says that Spotify is reportedly in the advanced stages of acquiring a podcast company for $230 million. Unknown whether series like Reply All, Science versus
a series where it's like science versus something different every week.
Oh, would become the Spotify exclusive. I missed the subheadline on this, but yeah, I'm surprised that Spotify would value a podcast company this high.
Yeah, it seems like, would podcasts really push you over the edge for signing up to Spotify?
I mean, I could see a valuation of like 10, 20 million for just the volume of content, but I mean, come on.
And usually most podcasts they have various avenues of hosting. So you wouldn't have to go to Spotify just to get, like 80% of the offerings. I don't know. Maybe we're just not hip to the podcast world. Maybe we're out of the loop.
Oh no!
We have a podcast, Level One.
It's mildly successful.
It's mild, yeah. People like
but
it.
We can't give Spotify our podcast. It's just for the patrons.
It is at patreon.com/level1.
Yay!
Well,
that was our self promotion segment.
Some of you are probably sitting there and you're saying to yourselves, "I need a super super powerful CPU, and I need it to have a lot of unlocked cores and just massive multi-core computing power. But I'm not willing to build my own computer. I want somebody else to build it for me." And are you in luck?
Because Intel has released the new Xeon W3175X, 28 unlocked cores, and it's priced at only $3,000.
Only.
But surely you must be saying there must be a catch. There is, in fact, a catch. There are several catches, actually. The first of which is that Intel is rumored to only be making a very, very limited number of these.
Less than 10,000.
And the second catch is that you're probably going to have to go through a system integrator to get your system, meaning that somebody's going to have to build you your computer.
Starting at $10,000.
Probably going to be around 10 grand.
So reasonable then.
Well, this CPU is very similar to the current top-end Xeon Platinum CPU, which came out, I think, in 2017, which is $10,000 each. So, except this one is unlocked and overclockable, unlike its Xeon Platinum counterpart. So this is a really interesting product. I don't think that, if people are paying $1,800 for a CPU, maybe they're paying $3,000 for a CPU, but you can't really buy it in quantity, and the whole, like, the motherboard is going to be like over $1,000.
Yeah, there's two motherboards, one of which doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. Seems like a little bit of a problem.
But it is competitive with the comparable Epic, which is what, $4,500?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can buy that.
Yeah.
So.
Or buy a server that has two of those. It's actually, I think, faster than anything that AMD has at this point. But the ability to obtain it, because like day traders, there are day traders that have the Xeon Platinum, whatever, and you know it could be $15,000 and they would still buy it. So,
but they made that like $99.90 for the day traders.
Yeah, that's five. It's not as many cores, but it's 5 gigahertz. So depends on what you're doing.
Competing with themselves.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying is Team Blue has won.
The 7-nanometer chips aren't out yet. Let's wait and see.
Watch everyone argue in the comments.
AMD saying, hold my 7-nanometers. Hold my beer or something. I'll be right back.
Well, let's switch over to security. And let's talk about unsecured databases, just like we do every single week.
Oh, no. An unsecured MongoDB database has exposed the Kremlin's backdoor into Russian businesses. Wait, what now? Admin at Kremlin.ru. I read that, and I was laughing for a solid 5 minutes. So, yeah, if you run a forum or a website or something, you might want to check for an account called admin at Kremlin.ru. Now, this is actually for, like, some of these things, that is a state-mandated account. Like, for financial transactions and stuff like that, they literally are like, give us the login. We want to be able to see stuff and track stuff. And the username or the email associated with it is admin at Kremlin.ru.
Did you check the level one forums for that?
Yeah, we don't have an admin at Kremlin.ru.
If I saw that, though, in our user logs, I would assume that was like a troll account.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you another pro tip if you're running an admin account. If that's on a web server and your website has a newsletter pop up, I'm signing you up for it every time I visit.
You told me about that, and I do that every time now. Or I just put screw you at no.
You can also do sales, customer
marketing.
Service.
I've done a marketing ad.
I'll change it up.
If you know of an account that has an autoresponder, bonus points, because then you can get in an infinite loop of autoresponding.
No reply. I hadn't thought about that. I'm going to start using that. Well, you know, another thing, we don't talk about the Google Play apps quite as often as we do unsecured databases, but we do quite a bit. And this week we have some pretty nasty ones.
This one was the one that I was foreshadowing in the last episode. It's a Google Play apps with greater than 4.3 million downloads collectively stole pics and pushed porn ads. So these 29 apps concealed their malice and were hard for many infected users to uninstall. So, yeah, this is more evidence that the Google Play Store is an improperly monitored dumpster fire of insanity.
They really pixelated these. They're like, it's just don't take any chances. So, yeah, these things, it would happen as soon as you booted the phone or as soon as you opened certain apps or whatever. But you didn't have to open. Actually, this app didn't appear anywhere on your phone after it was downloaded. It hid itself in every way. So, unfortunate. Maybe this is the one where they had listed the... Oh, here we go.
There it is. Yeah, look.
Pro camera beauty was the big one. Cartoon art photo. This is all just crap camera filter, just garbage.
Well, listen, you can't post your real face on social media.
Literally all of these.
I wonder if like...
Hashtag no filter.
I wonder if like in the future, archaeologists... You know how like archaeologists talk about the fall of Rome and the things that led to the fall of Rome and like the cultural thing. I wonder if archaeologists are going to look back and be like, well, when like cartoon selfie camera passed 2 billion downloads, that was really the marker for the...
Oh, see, I thought you were going to be like, you know, those cartoon filters are going to be how they think people actually looked.
Anthropologists, don't correct us.
Anthropologists, yes, sorry.
Archaeologists.
they would like, find the software and then the anthropologist would comment on it.
Unless we start fusing our smartphones directly into our bones.
Which Elon Musk wants to do.
Could very much happen, yeah.
Software archaeology is a thing.
Yeah, I don't...
Imagine digging a cell phone out of it.
But if you go through a collapse of civilization where you lose all the data so that there's no record of it, I think you would lose.
Yeah, you'd lose a lot more, yeah.
Bless me.
Well, it doesn't count if you do it yourself.
Well, yes, sure. Also, I think I can smell that smoke now.
Yeah, that's probably why you sneezed.
I don't smell it as much.
I'm not getting it. Maybe they're outside.
Yeah.
It does taste smooth and relaxing, like all cigarettes do.
Man, think how cool you'd be if you actually smoked them.
Sponsored by Marlboro. Firefox.
It's January. We're desperate.
Firefox is getting an exciting new... feature that is going to protect you from man in the middle.
Firefox will soon warn users of software that performs a man in the middle attack. So starting with version 66, Firefox will let you know when antivirus products, malware, or your ISP are tapping into your HTTPS traffic. So this is kind of like how, like, you know, the Lenovo Superfish software works, where it installs a trusted certificate on your on your computer, and then we'll establish a secure connection to Google, decrypt it, and then re-encrypt it using its own local trusted certificate, and then it'll display like the website is still secure, but the software is able to like analyze it and do stuff with it, which is perhaps more insecure than not having done that.
Which ISP was the one that was injecting a page that made you like confirm that you understood the security thing?
Verizon and Comcast are both responsible for having done stuff like that.
Hey, bro, we've invalidated your security to make you aware of the security risk.
Now, they bought a piece of equipment to do that. They could have just made their infrastructure better.
That would cost money.
Yeah.
Well, they both cost money, but they could have saved money by not doing the thing that was unnecessary and doing the thing that was...
Listen, that sounds like effort, and they're about minimum effort possible.
They already had the code for the other one from all that ad injection that they got caught doing. So it was really just a recycle job.
They shouldn't be injecting ads into my traffic.
But they will.
Well, another embarrassing thing for Apple that happened this week was a FaceTime bug. And this FaceTime bug had to do with the volume. So if you raised or lowered the volume before someone picked up the call, it just turned on the mic and the camera for you. And I can totally see how that happened. It was like the subroutine for volume was like, you know, just enable the camera and the mic, because clearly why would you be changing the volume if those were off?
It's fine.
But there's good news is.
Apple says it will fix the FaceTime bug that allows you to access someone's iPhone and camera before they pick up. So this was reported everywhere. Like, the normies were up in arms about this.
Yeah, people were screaming on Twitter.
Oh my God, what happened? But let this be a lesson to you. This is how easy it is to turn your phone into an eavesdropping device. It accidentally became an eavesdropping device.
I saw, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was some kind of legal proceeding where there was like a lawyer with a client.
Oh yeah, with a deposition. Yeah.
And the phone started ringing while they were talking, so someone got it.
Yeah. So that might be a... that might be a thing.
A problem. Well, another problem that you might have if you have a phone is the loss of all your money.
Criminals are tapping into the phone network backbone to empty bank accounts. I think this story was the one that was from the UK. So if you've had problems...
Yeah, they have... what's the name of their thing? SS7.
Yeah. So I think if you've been having problems with your bank in the UK, you might want to look at this, because usually banks take the position, no, you authorize this transaction from your phone. That is enough proof for us that you authorize this. Well, not so much. SS7, turns out your mobile phone network's not really all that secure. So
this is very similar to the SIM attack we talked about in the last episode, but they don't actually have to get anybody from the telecom to go along with it.
Yeah.
They can just hack their way in.
Yeah.
And so this is your two-factor, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think that there's some privacy issues with this as well. Like, you can have somebody that joins, like, a poison tower, but after they join the poison tower, you can still follow them around. Oh, that's the new thing. That's the next story, actually. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. I'm just off my game today.
I don't know. You just dropped and just pull all that stuff.
My brain is not firing in order. I don't know what it is.
It's because it's a beautiful sunny day.
All that sunlight's it's affecting
detrimental.
You. Your body's like, what sort of vitamin is this? D? I don't know what that is. Well, more bad news for 5G. It seems like all the 5G headlines are negative, and this one is no exception.
New flaw impacts 4G, 5G, 3G telephony protocols. This is the one that I was talking about in the UK story. So it's not that the protocol, the data aspect of the protocol has been compromised, but the metadata aspect of the protocol. So things like tracking where you are, how long you're there, what types of messages that you're sending, that's the type of information that leaks from these flaws. But the really amazing thing about this is that you can still be tracked after you leave the poisoned cell tower.
If you come back.
If you come back, yeah.
But I don't think this new one was a metadata attack. It's a new way of doing it.
Yeah, it's something, it's a novel attack. Metadata is maybe not the best way to describe it, but you can get information about, like, if somebody sends text messages, like, you know,
how many.
Yeah.
And then once you have that unique identifier, every time they come back to that tower, you can then track them. So if you were to blanket a region in these devices, which a state could do.
Like Washington, D.C.
You could certainly track everything that was going on there. Now here, once again, I'll reiterate. This is not a zoomed in version of TechCrunch.
This is just how the site looks.
Well, there was an ad up there, and so it's like trying to show us an ad, and then it's like kind of like, no.
Oh,
Can't ever. It's like a perfect, perfect pixel. Oh,
it's because we're blocking the ad.
Oh.
This is probably because some designer wanted it to be pixel perfect, so they had to add a ton of weird media queries, and now it breaks.
But you can just keep pausing it and read different sections.
Yeah.
Anyway.
India's largest bank.
Oh.
Oh.
SBI.
Oh, leaked account data on millions of customers. That's like a fun little mini game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this is the state-owned Indian Bank. And they
lost everything.
It was a text message interface. So, like, not everybody in India has smartphones. Of course, not everybody anywhere has smartphones. So this was a service where you could text message, or actually somehow you could just call them and do like a voice thing. And then it would call you back or text message you back with your payment history or the last five transactions or balance or whatever. And all of that was just unsecured.
Wow.
Neat.
That was 300 Yikes. Million a day.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of people in India.
And no one noticed. Like, hey, why is the thing dumping 300 million records a day all of a sudden? What's going on?
That's not my job. I just hand out dum-dums. Like, or whatever the Indian equivalent of dum-dums is.
Oh, probably something curry flavored.
What if they have the same thing? What if dum-dums are universal?
I bet they are. Yeah. Because, like, I think M&Ms are universal, right?
I would think so,
Does everywhere have M&Ms? But maybe not China.
That'll be fun if American candy settles World War III someday. It's like everybody that has a disagreement with World War III.
This is popcorn dum-dum. I hate that.
It's like, look what we're destroying. We're destroying the ability to make this wonderful, delicious candy.
Listen, don't you want childhood obesity?
It makes everybody Pacific, so why not?
Well, Google Chrome, you know, they heard about Firefox doing the hijacking thing, man in the middle thing, and they're like, oh no, you won't outdo us.
So Google Chrome is going to get warnings for lookalike URLs, Chrome to show warnings when accessing mistyped domains. This is great. This is also, like, with Apple, like, where's the Apple news? Like, I was looking for Apple news to complement this. There's not really a bug, but on Safari, it always displays the leftmost part of the URL, which makes phishing really easy. So, like, if you've got a really long domain name and it's like secure.amazon.com.somethingelse.whatever, it'll show you the left side of the URL instead of the right side of the URL, so you don't know. Like, it looks kind of legit if you're not
paying attention.
If you're a normal person.
It's just more reason Safari's garbage. And don't use it.
It really is.
So you might be thinking, hey, this doesn't affect me. I'm hypervigilant. I can notice when any extra character is in there.
Unicode.
But how about this example here? So the I and the A are Unicode characters.
Yeah. On Windows machines, you can't even see a difference between those.
So this is a cool feature.
Mostly.
Everybody's like, maybe you can't, nor me. Get on my level.
I can tell.
Well, in Singapore, they have had, they actually already had the healthcare breach. Remember that? We talked about that. But now they've had a very specific and maybe more terrifying, if you're one of these people, healthcare breach.
Singapore HIV registry data leaked online in health breach. They think they got their man. It was a disgruntled employee.
I wasn't even a disgruntled employee. This, Kristen, you will love this. This is a...
Why does he have a puppet?
This is an evil soap opera.
This is like the guy who stands between the Intel CEO and Lisa Su. This is the villain in that fanfic.
He is definitely a terrible person. So the story goes, this guy went to Singapore. Now, Singapore is super strict on HIV people coming into the country. They screen for it before you get there. In the past, they wouldn't even let you in. But now they have this program where it's like, you go into like a quarantine or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was a lover of one of the high ranking medical guys in Singapore. That guy substituted his own non-infected blood for this man's blood to get him into the country. This man then betrayed him, stole the database, and leaked it to the world.
I couldn't have written that better myself. That is the most bizarre thing.
I don't know what would make him do that.
I love that they selected this photo. Surely he has another one.
I mean, like, he looks terrifying in this photo.
What does he want? No one knows.
It's like one of those supervillains where it's like they're doing something that seems innocuous, but then like halfway as they're doing it, it's suddenly very terrifying.
It makes me, he reminds me of, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's where it's Ed Norton killed the cardinal of the church who he claimed molested him, and Richard Gere is his lawyer. Engagement Challenge.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't see.
But he plays an amazing character who's like real country Kentucky boy, but he's faking it all along. Spoiler alert.
What if we were going to watch it?
You're never going to watch it, Kristen. You know you don't watch movies.
We've got a follow-up on Collection 1 that we reported on last week.
Yeah, the follow-up to Collection 1 is Collections 2 through 5.
Collections 2 through 5 have become public, and it looks like Troy Hunt or Brian Krebs, one of those guys, has identified a possible source for this. There's a criminal version of Troy Hunt, I guess. Troy Hunt is, you know, he does Have I Been Pwned? The criminal version of that has been gathering leaked credentials into, you know, this super database for criminals.
Is he himself automatically a criminal for doing that, though? I mean, he's just collecting things?
Well, I mean, he's benefiting from that. And I would say
he didn't sell it.
Well, he might have sold it in the past.
Hmm. But this is just gargantuan. It is a massive. How big was it?
Many, many, like 70, so many, 70 terabytes or something?
No, I don't know if we got in the terabyte. I think it's so like hundreds of gigabytes. But that's text. Yeah. So you can imagine. And I think 2.2 billion when you remove duplicates.
No, it was 773 million unique email addresses under 22 million unique passwords.
That's number one.
Yeah. Oh. What's number, what, 2.2?
2.2. It's like 3.5, but if you reduce duplicates, it's 2.2 billion records. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's right.
So, yeah. Basically, if you have an online account, you're probably in this. Overwhelmingly likely. Because you got what portion of the 7 billion people aren't on the internet?
HaveIBeenPwned.com. Just punch in your email
address. No, they don't have the update yet.
Oh, they don't have it in?
But there is a link in this article to a new tool that does have it.
They have Collection 1 in, for sure.
Yeah, but you can search the whole thing. You can only search this one by your email address, not like HaveIBeenPwned, where you can search by your password.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, just consider all your old passwords useless, because they're out there somewhere.
Going to have to go to the passwords that are like this long and just random characters.
Which a lot of places won't allow.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, your password must be less than 24 characters. And it's like, how can you possibly take yourself seriously if you're doing this?
I need a passphrase that has never been uttered in any literature or, in the history of humanity ever before. That's what my password has to be.
And
that way you can remember it.
But also that no one else randomly would chose in the same way.
It's like, oh, I'll use that quote from Call of Cthulhu. Bad idea.
Well, that's it for government and security. And tomorrow we'll be talking about social, a little bit of design. One of the design stories was from 2017.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which we covered in the Level 1 News.
Did we?
In 2017, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what story it was, because I had two or three that I posted.
And then, of course, nonsense, which everybody loves.